We all struggle with hurts and hang-ups and habits. You've heard me say that many times in the last several weeks. I will continue to say it. It is true. I am your pastor. That's true. I'm also a human being. Sometimes I'm sad. Sometimes I'm irritable. Sometimes I'm selfish. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm insensitive. Sometimes my thoughts are not pure. Sometimes I drift from God. Sometimes I'm proud. Sometimes I'm lonely. Sometimes I'm afraid. I have many faults and needs. I am a broken person. And so are you. True? In launching Celebrate Recovery at Chapel Hill, we've been considering 8 steps on the road to recovery. We'll be recruiting some help. I have some people who have been volunteering. If you'd like to be involved in this ministry, just let me know. We're going to be meeting together and trying to put this together. This ministry is set up really in a lot of ways for bigger churches. And so we have to kind of make sure we have all the pieces of the wheel, but we have it in a way that works in our setting. And so we're going to need a lot of help for that. So far we discussed the first 3 letters in the word recovery. R. Realize I'm not God, that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. E, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. C, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Christ's care and control. And today we turn to the letter O. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. I'm sitting there just marveling at Sherry's testimony this morning, going, wow. Wow, that's just perfect. I didn't pay her anything. She wasn't a plant or anything, but you know, that's really what we're talking about. It's coming clean. Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart. It involves cleaning up the past, letting go of guilt and shame, finding forgiveness, gaining a clear conscience, coming clean, pure heart. Guilt sticks us in the past, keeps us from growing. We will not grow beyond our guilt. Cripples our souls, robs us of joy. And guilt and shame are partners, because shame isolates us from other people. Guilt separates us from God. Shame keeps us from really moving and interacting and loving and communicating and being honest and real with other people. And so guilt and shame destroy our confidence and rob us of vitality and joy. We all carry some measure of guilt. We have to deal with that on a regular basis, and certainly shame. The story's told many years ago about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Anybody recognize that name? Anybody pay attention in English class? Sherlock Holmes, yes. The writer of the Sherlock Holmes novels, right? I have not been able to independently evaluate whether this story is actually true. But I've seen it in a couple of places. But so it goes. He played a prank. He was a fun-loving guy. And he played it on five of the most prominent men in England, so the story goes. And he sent an anonymous note to each of these five very powerful, well-known men. And it simply said, "All is found out. Flee at once." And within 24 hours, all five men had fled the country. True? I don't know. But there is shame. The fear of being found out that drives us. Guilt and shame rob us of freedom and of peace. So how do we find freedom? We're dealing with nagging hurts and hang-ups, habits. Got to come clean. This is part of, you could do this on your own without being in a Celebrate Recovery group. It's been part of AA since its founding. What you do is we take a personal inventory. Alone with God, get a notepad, and maybe today's time, a tablet, and ask, "What's wrong with me?" You ever ask that anyway? What's wrong with me? Sometimes we ask that about other people. What's wrong with you? But, I mean, did you ever ask, "What's wrong with me?" What do I feel guilty about? You have things that come up in your life, and every once in a while they just kind of pop in, you realize you feel guilty about something? What do I feel guilty about? What are my faults? What do I regret? This is something we do with God. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. I love this text. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What a great prayer. What a great prayer. Take your time on this inventory. Don't rush. Do an honest assessment, but don't indulge in safe self-hate. This is not the time to put the boxing gloves on and beat yourself to a pulp. This is just a time to say, okay, what really is wrong in my life? What needs addressed? What are my regrets? What makes me feel guilty? Remember, you are not the worst sinner who ever lived. You are a sinner, though. We all are. We all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have faults. We all have issues. So this is just a time, just you and Lord, honest, saying, okay, I'm agreeing with you that I maybe do have this problem. I maybe do need to look at this. Maybe it's time for me to grow up in this area. It's time for me to mature in this way. And then when you get done with your list, take responsibility for yourself. I really am convinced that this is one of the most important things we need to do if we're going to grow up. We don't blame somebody else. The sun didn't get in your eyes. It's not your parents' fault. It's not because you had a bad teacher in the fourth grade. come on, you know. Just come clean. Yeah, some people hurt us. We have bad things that happen to us. But most of the things that have really held me back are things I've done to myself. Amen? These are your own thoughts, your own words, your own deeds, your own habits. Own them. Don't blame others. Don't make excuses. Just say, God, it's true. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I say this. Sometimes I think that. I really shouldn't have done this. I regret doing that. Just honest. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And then ask God for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a promise to be claimed and to be celebrated. You don't have to keep asking over and over and over again for God to forgive you of the same sin. Ask, receive the gift of mercy. Claim it. Thank you, God, for setting me free. My chains have gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, right? Thank God for hearing your prayer. Thank God for forgiving you. Celebrate His love and His mercy and His grace. You are free. And don't let residual feelings bring you back. Yes, you did something bad. Okay, you confessed it. Move on. Move on. Thank you, God, for loving me and forgiving me. Thank you for the cross for me. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Believe it. Claim it. Let it be your experience. Celebrate it. Because there is nothing that God will not forgive when we ask. And the Lord will provide, will purify us from all unrighteousness. God washes us clean. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's one of the things I love about a day like today, when you stick your head outside and there's snow on the trees and everything is all white and beautiful. God wants our souls to have that experience, that all the yuckiness has been removed and we're white as snow again. Now here's the part that's more difficult. In Celebrate Recovery and in AA and other recovery groups, not only do we come to God, but we also admit our faults to another person. Sherry did that this morning. I did it too at the beginning when I listed some of the things that I... Because what happens is we may deal with our guilt problem. And we actually come to the point where we recognize, yeah, I mean, I really am free. God has really forgiven me. I really am okay with that. I know that I got mercy. You been there? You know what I'm talking about? But there's still this shame thing. The problem with God has been looked at, but the problem with other human beings has been held tightly. Guilt separates us from God. Shame isolates us from other humans. And we need to be free from both. To be honest with you, I am much more troubled by shame than I am by guilt. I really understand the 1 John 1:9 part. I really get that. I really understand the mercy of God at the cross. I really get that. I know that God is love, and I know that God is merciful, and I know that God will help me no matter what I've done or said or thought or whatever, no matter which way I've screwed up. I know that God has got that, and I'm fine. I know God really forgives, but I'm just not so confident about other people. People can be petty and condemning, and they may take your weakness and hit you in the face with it. And we've all learned down the way that there are people in this world who are really not safe to share with, because somehow they will hurt you by what you shared. We've all had this experience. True? So while God loves and accepts and forgiveness, people are a little bit more unreliable at that point. We know we can always trust God, but we're not so sure about each other. Yet, James says, chapter 5, verse 16, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That word admit, it's agree with God, agree with others. It's also this, confess. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Pastor Rick Warren at Saddleback, who has inspired this sermon series and each message in the series, I've built on his thoughts. I've done it my own way, but we're launching the ministry of Celebrate Recovery, and that's Saddleback's ministry. It tells of a woman who came to him and said, I'm so depressed, I've been in bed for weeks. I don't have any energy to get out of bed and live anymore. She was really severely, chronically depressed. As he began to talk with her, the Lord gave him an insight, and he asked her, is there something you really regret in your life? He was getting at a spiritual question, but she was suffering a physical and emotional problem, chronic depression. And at that point, she began to pour it out. She was actually talking to another person. She said, yes, her husband traveled, and while he was away, she had an affair. And she got pregnant. And then she had an abortion. And she never told anybody. She never told her husband. She never told anybody. And that regret, that guilt, that shame was literally killing her. It had caught her. It had trapped her in this depression. And then Rick Warren talked to her about Jesus. I guess that's what preachers do. He said, Jesus said, I can forgive you of every sin. She said, but it just doesn't seem fair. Somebody should have to pay for it. And Warren said, somebody did. Jesus did. He died on the cross to set you free, to forgive you. So the guilt issue was taken care of, but so also was the shame issue. Because not only did this woman confess her sin to God, but she had the ear of another person. And he did not judge her or condemn her or hurt her. He offered healing and grace and mercy. And that's where recovery comes from. It's in coming clean, where we're dealing with our guilt issues with God, but we're also dealing with our shame issues, where we're afraid to admit what we really think, what we really are, what we've really done, what we really feel. So why tell another person? Because it deals with our shame. And it seems no matter how much you get your guilt right, there's still that shame question. And we've learned to fear shame. Because people can be so cruel. We can be bullied. We can be misunderstood. We can be marginalized. And so we lie to each other. How you doing? I'm fine. I got this. Everything's great. And we deceive one another. I don't really struggle with that. Used to. We wear masks. We pretend that we are things that we are not. And that's literally the word hypocrite, hypocrites. It's one who wears a mask. It comes from the word of the theater mask, where you pretend you're something you're not, where you take upon yourself a role of something you're not. And the more masks we wear, the more we're kept captive and held in bondage to the shame of what other people will think of us. And so we pretend that we have it all together. And we don't. And there's a lot of people in the community at large. The last place they would ever go to deal with a problem is at church. Because those people at church got it all together. Well, no, we don't. No, we don't. We got a lot of things together, and we got a lot of things kind of screwed up. And so we deny our true feelings, we cover up, and shame prevents us from being intimate. And so we become lonely and separated and sad because we can't really get close to people because we have this fear. If they really knew me, they wouldn't love me. If they really knew what I've done, they wouldn't care for me. If they really knew the thing that I said or the terrible thing that I am, they wouldn't accept me anymore. And so we keep hiding. You know, the truth is, if you self-reveal to some people, they will reject you. They will mock you. And so you try to come clean with the wrong person, and you create more problems than you solve. And we've all learned that, haven't we? There are people in this world who you can trust and people you can't trust. Two mistakes we make. Trust everybody or trust nobody. In between is trust somebody. Trust the right persons, right? And a fourth step to recovery says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself. It's like, yeah, I really do have an issue here. To God. And then that last part that I struggle with the most of all. I can be honest with myself. I can be honest with God. Being honest with other people about everything, not so sure. And to someone I trust. And to someone I trust. Who should you tell? I don't know. I saw that picture actually posted it on the internet. I think I could tell her. I knew something about her, right? There's just something like right about her. It's like, yeah, I think I could tell her. Yeah. Don't go out and anybody all your sins. That's just stupid. Repeat after me. That's just stupid. That's casting your pearls before swines. It's a sacred trust. And what you're seeking is healing and to move beyond hurts and move beyond hang-ups and move beyond habits. So if part of that process is dealing with the shame in your life, then pick somebody who is worthy of that trust. Somebody you trust. somebody who can keep confidences. If you hear people talking about others, are they talking about something someone else said, I'm sorry, don't trust them. You know, they've got issues. This is not the person to share with. Tell somebody who understands the value of what you're doing. Someone understands. Maybe they need to understand the whole idea of recovery, you know. Maybe they have to be on board with what it means to move beyond. Somebody who's mature enough that they're not going to be shocked. You did that. Somebody is mature enough that they're not going to carry your burden. Some people can't be told anything without being weighted down by it. This person that you trust needs to be a person who can hear your burden, just give it to God and just say, okay, thank you for sharing, you know, move on. Because some people just can't bear a burden. Maybe you're a person like that. Don't choose a person like that. Tell somebody who knows the Lord well. So well that they can reflect his forgiveness to you. Because bottom line, that's what you're seeking. You're seeking the face of another who would say, yeah, I still love you. God forgives you. We're good. Thanks for sharing with me. In the Episcopal Church, they have what's known as a general confession. That means every Sunday we had this prayer that we prayed. And then at the end of that prayer, the priest would stand up and give an absolution. And the purpose of that was to declare your sins were forgiven by another human being. And this is their efforts to live out James 5:16. In the Catholic Church, they have the person go to confession. They meet in a private confessional booth with a priest, and the priest fulfills this role. We're not looking for a ritual. We're not looking to become Catholic or Episcopalian. But we are looking to move beyond this kind of private isolation that makes us separated from people who really do love us, but we don't know it because we're if they knew. If they knew what? Well, if they knew. If they know. So how do you start? How do you do this? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm real uncomfortable with doing this. How about you? I don't mind talking in a general kind of way about my faults. Yeah, get specific. Yeah, that's maybe you won't love me. That whole shame thing, right? Well, find a safe place. Take your moral inventory and ask a person if they would just be your confessor. You know, someone you could just share with. Tell them what you're looking for. You're not looking to be fixed. You're not looking to be, lectured. You're not looking to be counseled. You're not looking for anything but an ear and a heart that forgives. Say, I just need someone to listen to me while I take my fourth step in recovery. Here's some things I know are wrong in my life, and this is what I've done, and this is what I've felt, and here are the habits, and here's my hurts and hang-ups, and I just wanted to share them with you. And then just let that be a holy moment where shame dies. You got the guilt thing right, but the shame continues. Are you understanding this? And that shame can become a stronghold that keeps us from really recovering from our hurt, from our hang-up, from our habit. One of the good things about a step group, which is one of the big parts of a Celebrate Recovery ministry is that you walk through this with a group. You know, you're all going through step four together, and you're saying, you know, okay, but maybe you could share with each other, and that makes it maybe a little safer, you know. So that's one of the advantages of a step group, is that that intimacy is kind of within a place that's very, very safe. But I confess to you, you know, I'm pretty sure God's forgiven me. I'm just not sure it's safe with y'all. You understand? Is that how you feel? That's the truth. We'll never be fully alive and freaking say, yeah, I need to come clean. I need to know that people will love me and accept me, even if they knew. They'll love and accept you for who you are. And we all can do that when we realize there's nobody here that can go to the cross and say, hey, I really don't need the cross. Hey, I need the cross. How about you? I need the cross. Look again at James 5:16. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed, so that you may be healed. Psalm 32, 1 and 2 adds, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Come clean. Take the mask off. Be free of both guilt and shame. Take the fourth step, however that works for you. Let's openly examine and ourselves and confess our faults to ourselves and to God and to someone we trust. Because God wants us on the road to recovery. And God wants us to be free. God wants us to be free. Well, I'm sure that message made many of you thoroughly uncomfortable. But God does want us to be free. Let's go to the Lord.